right, Vinny Show. I had to take a real deep breath there to get this thing started. It's March 9th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Times are changing, as everybody is well aware. If you've been paying any attention whatsoever, Impact has moved to Monday nights, going head-to-head with Raw for no conceivable good reason.
Frankly, if you've managed to get this far and not realize that, I commend you.
Yeah.
Because that must have been a concerted effort to avoid all news.
We've got to make some changes here on this show or something. I haven't quite figured out what we're going to do yet, but obviously Dave and I are going to be recapping Impact and Raw every single Monday night. So I don't see the point of doing the exact same review on Tuesday here with myself and Young Vincent. I know that many, many people love the Brian and Vinny reviews of Impact, but they may be coming to an end here. Do we really need to do it twice in a row? I don't think so.
I think they don't need to watch it ever again.
I see no reason to review that godforsaken show, but I'm going to make you watch it every week.
Bullshit.
I'm thinking...
If I'm not reviewing it, I'm not watching it.
Well, you're going to review it. We're going to...
I'm so confused now.
We're going to need to... We need to change this up a little bit. Like, we don't need to review every single segment on both shows. I mean, we should be able to go for like... We should be able to, in 20 minutes, give our thoughts on both shows... Maybe some day after thoughts on the programs once the ratings come in, which is what we're going to do today. You know, stuff like that. We don't need to break it down segment by segment because I do that with Dave. But it's still important to get your input. There may be certain segments that you passionately hate. Maybe certain segments that you love. You know what I mean?
Frankly, Impact had both.
On both shows. So perfect.
Raw had neither.
So we can get through that quickly in 20 minutes. And then I think on Tuesdays we should review NXT, get it over with. There's no reason to wait till Friday. And on Friday we'll do SmackDown, and then there's other stuff that we could watch. We could watch some 24/7, for example, or I don't know. Carl Stern has sent a Jeff Jarrett DVD. He's begging us to watch, so we're gonna have to watch it.
Like it's, old school?
Yes, Jeff Jarrett's debut.
If you don't watch that, I guarantee you I will.
We're going to watch
it. That will be tape-view material. I'm excited about that.
Now, what we're going to do this week, I've already decided, we're going to quickly talk about Raw and Impact. We're not going to run down every segment. If you want to hear that running down every segment, you can listen to the show that Dave and I did on Monday night. Today, we're just going to talk about it, mention how stupid TNA is. Why not? Talk about the horrible rating they did.
They earned that.
Yeah. And then we're going to talk about the SmackDown tapings, which we went to in Seattle. And we're going to give you all the spoilers, so if you don't want it spoiled. And who would care about having SmackDown spoiled?
Especially this episode.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Spoilers are like a funny thing where, you know, I can understand Raw and Impact. It's fun that they're both live and you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because they actually do angles and such on that show. But, I mean, does it really hurt your enjoyment of the show if SmackDown, if the spoilers are revealed to you?
I mean, there was a time when I would always try to avoid reading the spoilers, and then at some point I realized two things. One, if anything newsworthy happened on SmackDown, really, really groundbreaking, like a new guy debuted or a title changed hands or something, I would hear about it regardless.
Yes.
On the other hand, anything below that level of news, or remember the spoilers, I would forget by the time I watched the show on Friday.
Which happens all the time.
Which is what most shows are, and frankly, most of this one was.
I watched
so
this show.
So now I read the spoilers, and I don't care about them, and I take that back. I haven't read spoilers in a long time. I used to get in the habit of reading spoilers and forgetting most of it as soon as I stopped reading.
Yeah. So we're going to do that and talk about NXT as well on this show. And then Friday... Since we've already reviewed SmackDown, we don't need to do it again. So I think on Friday, we'll review the Evolve DVD, which I've got, the very first one, which came out this week, by the way. And we'll do Evolve, and then we'll probably watch Jeff Jarrett's debut as well. So that's going to be the Friday show. Just things are going to be mixed up here on the Brian and Vinny show. There's got to be big changes. It's like when ECW died and NXT replaced it. We're wild and young here on this show. And we got to make the most of it. Let's talk about Impact and Raw. What did you think of these two shows?
I watched Raw first, mainly because, at least on my cable system, I got Raw live. I had to wait till 9 for Impact.
Yeah.
So, I watched Raw first, and by the time the show was about to start, I was excited. It was the new Monday Night Wars, and I thought I was going to get a spectacle. And what I got was a Shawn Michaels Undertaker promo that was fine. And then the very first real shot fired in the new war was a women's six-man tag. And I watched this, and it was bad. And it was longer than it needed to be. And then Eve Torres submitted Maryse with a rolling armbar. And I thought the war is on. It's on now. And then we got Hornswoggle and Chris Angel and the tag team challengers beating the champions up to, you know, because I believe they've teamed one time, so to be fair, they do need new credibility. Oh, we got a scrap with John Cena and Dave Bautista. Then we had the latest lame chapter in the lamest feud of all time, Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes and Teddy DiBiase, where they had a handicap match that lasted about 16 hours. And I know sometimes we time the amount of wrestling on it, especially Impact, but sometimes other shows. This is proof that just because there's a lot of wrestling on a show does not mean it was good.
Yeah.
This match bored the hell out of me. It went through two commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And they got... I'm trying to remember what happened. They got the heat on Orton 14
no
times.
No one cares.
In fact, I don't think I wrote down... I did not write down the finish. I have no idea what happened in this match, and I don't care. Here's what my notes read. They then get the heat on Orton for the 14th time. All capital letters. How long is this fucking match? This is for sure more wrestling than on Impact, and that is not good. 15 fucking minutes. I did go back and time it. This match is 15 minutes long, and then I wrote, this show blows.
So this match did, in fact, go longer than all of the wrestling on... Actually, all the wrestling on both Impact and Raw. Yeah. Last week. So let me. You know, I was thinking about this in the car.
But again, that does not mean this was good.
I got to make a comment about this this amount of wrestling, because I was burying Impact for having like 13 minutes of wrestling on a 2-hour show, and somebody emailed me and said, Brian, do you know on that Raw last week there was only 14 minutes of wrestling? Now, I didn't go back and check. Maybe they're right. I'll presume they are right. But if you're putting together a show and it's got 14 minutes of wrestling on it, but the stuff in all of the other segments, like the interviews or the angles or whatever, if that shit's really good, and if you pace it well, so you've got, you know, a segment, a 1-minute match, a segment, a 1-minute match, yeah, a segment, a 2-minute match, you don't notice. That's fine. When you have a show where all of the non-wrestling stuff, and this is why you notice that there's no wrestling on Impact. Because the non-wrestling stuff is usually horrible. It's a bunch of horrible skits, 4, 5, 6 segments in a row, all of which go 30 seconds. You have no idea what the hell is going on. It's a bunch of people yelling at each other. You see Eric Bischoff 18 times. And in the middle of it, you pray for good wrestling. Because that's all TNA can provide, is good wrestling matches. Because they've got talented wrestlers.
Yes.
So when you watch all this shit and you're begging for a match, and you get one that goes a minute, yeah, it pisses you off.
Yes.
When you watch Raw, and you watch a great fucking interview with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, and then you see the girls come on screen, you're glad it's over in 2 minutes.
Yes.
And you've got another segment here. I will admit the Randy Orton match was horrible. And this was not a good Raw. Don't get me wrong.
This was
not a good Raw. But the week before, for example, was a great fucking Raw. Because they had a whole bunch of good angles and good interviews, and they mixed some wrestling in there.
Yeah.
So it didn't bother you as much.
And here's the other thing I will say on that. If you're going to have 15 minutes of wrestling and you have like 3 good 5-minute matches, or a good 5-minute match and a good 10-minute match, great. When you have 15 1-minute matches, no good.
No.
That is not good wrestling.
There's a segment on Impact on Thursday that was like, between a commercial break and another commercial break, there were like 5 segments that all went 30 seconds.
Bullshit.
It was like commercial.
I'm not calling bullshit on you. I'm saying that is bullshit television.
Yeah, it was commercial, 30-second segment, 30-second segment, 30-second segment, 30-second segment, 30-second segment, commercial. Why would anyone watch this show?
I don't.
The answer was revealed Monday. People don't.
No one does. Oh, so Legacy had their deal. Hunter and Sheamus had their face-to-face. I thought this was a good segment.
It was all right.
That was good. Hunter was talking about how some guys beat him at Mania and become legends, and others he beats and they fade away. And as our buddy Jez has pointed out, this is not true. Basically, for the past 10 years, if you face Hunter at WrestleMania, you are virtually guaranteed to win a world championship down the line.
Well, Jez, actually, about 25 people emailed me. He was wrong about Kane. Kane won the title before he faced Hunter at WrestleMania.
So he's
Butternatty is largely correct.
There were two exceptions then, because it was Kane, and the other was Shawn Michaels.
Yes. Yeah.
Who, he's doing okay. Despite his lack of world championships.
Well, he was doing okay. He may not be for long.
He has not won. He wrestled Hunter at Mania 6 years ago, I think. This is WrestleMania 26, right?
Mm.
Yeah, it's been 6 years. And the past 6 years, he has won no world titles, but he has done fine. We had the segment with Santino and Chris Angel and the knife and the cups, where, you know, Chris Angel's magic did not blow me away on this show.
You don't say.
Yeah. I thought what was going to happen, for those of you who didn't see it, he put a knife under a styrofoam cup, and then he started smashing the cups with his hands until he got the right one. And I thought the trick was going to be, when he gets down to two cups, he's going to throw his hand down on the cup that had the knife in it, except now it had moved, because it was a magic trick you see.
Yeah, I had better ideas for all of his magic tricks, and none of them came true.
I also like the one because he's doing tricks like putting a thread up down his throat and out his eye, and he's doing this thing where he can read minds and stuff. And then, in the middle of all this, he stole Jillian's voice.
Yeah.
So he's not just a magician.
He's a sorcerer.
Yes, that's the exact word I was thinking. Or a wizard.
Yes.
He's a spellcaster. That was funny. Oh, Evan Bourne beat William Regal in like a minute. Yeehaw. That I did think was funny, the WrestleMania recall, where they just show great Mania clips from the past, it just happened to be Steve Austin stunning Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
And then beating up Goldberg for good measure.
Well, it was the same segment. Why not? We have to see Hunter and Orton again next week. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
I will say Chris Angel was a hell of a ring announcer for the main event.
Yes, he was.
Did a great job there. Except for he's introduced John Cena as the man who would be fighting for the title.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any more specific than that. And then we got the lame Cena versus Vince and everyone match that everyone watched.
Everyone watched that match.
So I guess it worked, but it didn't make any sense because, you know, Vince had, a half dozen hired thugs. But then when he tagged in, apparently East Guy's night was over. I don't know why he didn't just have six guys beat up John Cena. But besides that, he wanted Dave to be that had the big finish. But
let me make a comment here.
My last sentence on the notes reads, Vince wins, Dave poses, Raw sucks.
Yeah, Raw was pretty lame, and that brings me to an important point here. I don't want to go through every thread on the board where somebody says something I disagree with, but I'm going to highlight a statement here by Tarmus, who has written, why does TNA have to beat Raw in the ratings for the decision to move Impact to Monday nights to be called a success? Why isn't both shows on head-to-head, spurring each other to be a better show in the long run, a good thing for TNA to have done? Well, here's the problem, Tarmus. It is a myth that if Raw and Impact go head-to-head, it's going to spur both shows to book better programming. That's a lie. That's not going to happen. It didn't happen on January 4th, and it didn't happen on March 8th. WWE has known for months that TNA is going live on March 8th. It's not a mystery. I mean, not months. At least a month or so. If you look at, like, after next week, when they've got Steve Austin, three WrestleMania main events, and the Brett Vince contract signing, if you look at that and the previous three Raws, the Raw where they did the least was the show where Impact debuted on Monday nights. Raw and WWE, they don't care. There's no war here. Do you understand? There's no war.
It
was patently obvious today, and it was patently obvious going in that there was not going to be a war. Nobody in their right mind, not a single person in the world, thought that Impact was going to beat Raw. Most people thought it was going to do, I predicted a 1.16. Which, ironically, if they do the same DVR numbers that they did on January 4th, that would be a 1.19. Very close.
It's also very, very specific.
But yeah. Now, it didn't. It did a 0.98 because it's not a war. WWE did not try to counter-program. WWE is not going to see what TNA's main event is next week, and they're going to try and book something to beat them. They don't care. So the idea that Raw is going to book better programming because Impact is going head-to-head, that's not going to happen. It's not true.
I would actually argue they're doing the opposite.
Exactly.
There were times during the show where I thought their goal was to put on a boring episode of Raw and still crush Impact. And that's exactly what happened.
That may have been their mindset.
When they're opening match, again, a women's six-man tag, given plenty of time, they knew that was not going to be good.
Chris Angel and all those guys doing those skits, they were begging people to tune Impact.
Yes.
No one did.
No.
It's not a war.
Begging is the wrong word. Daring people to turn in Impact. But no one did.
On top of that, Raw does not spur Impact to do better shows.
That's clear.
We've now seen two head-to-head Impacts. And what has TNA done both times? They've hotshot a bunch of shit that they couldn't follow up on, or they forgot to follow up on, or they're just incompetent. And they followed up January 4th, where they did a 1-3 head-to-head, with March 8th, where they did a 0.98 head-to-head. Raw did not spur them to put on better shows. It spurred them to do exactly what the worst thing you could possibly do is, which is hotshot bullshit. Do you look at the Impact tapings? My God, they look horrible.
You don't say.
The main event of spoiler alert, everybody. Not that anyone could possibly care. The main event of Impact next week is, I think it's Jeff Hardy pins AJ Styles. Which would be a week before AJ Styles and Abyss at the pay-per-view. These people have no idea what they're doing.
No.
What happens? They put Kurt Angle and Ken Kennedy in a tag match, and Kennedy beats up Angle and bloodies him with the metal.
Again?
Did we not see this 3 weeks
Isn't
ago?
Isn't that how it started?
They blew off the entire feud on Monday night. They had the whole fucking United States Army out there
yes.
beating the shit out of Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
It's over.
You would think.
They followed it up with Kennedy getting the heat on Kurt again.
Yes.
Who could possibly care now?
I don't know.
These people have absolutely no idea what you're doing. You wonder why they got a .98. They don't know what they're doing. Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. Let me give everybody a stat here. Hogan and Flair did not do a 1.01. The overrun of Hogan and Flair did a 1.01. When Hulk Hogan, Flair, AJ, and Abyss came down to the ring for that main event on Monday night, that segment did an 0.76.
That's no good.
The beginning and the bulk of that match did an 0.76. Why? Well,
there,
a lot
there
of reasons.
Are many reasons, actually.
One of them was that everybody decided that watching John Cena faced Jack Swagger, Mark Henry, and the Peanut Gallery, along with Vince McMahon on Raw, 4.0 to 1.0 in the overrun. 3.6 to 0.7, what did I say, 0.76? Mm-hmm. I don't have the number in front of me. It was, I think it was
0.76 is what you said.
Something like that. I got him here somewhere, but that was one of the reasons. And number one is because you got a fucking go-home show. It was 0.76, by the way. I got him here. You had a go-home show. You got a go-home show for this big March 8th event. And what do? They have Hulk Hogan and Abyss beat the shit out of Ric Flair, bloody him up, and leave him in a broken heap. We need to see the match. Why?
Don't know.
You spent the entire show telling people that Hulk Hogan was old and broken down.
Right. Well, he is.
And shockingly, what did that segment do? What happened? How did that segment start that at a .76? Why? Everybody was telling Hulk he shouldn't go out there. He's old and broken down. Everybody turned the fucking channel. You told him to turn the channel. You assholes. You told him to turn the fucking channel. Not to mention the big YouTube thing. First 5 minutes. Oh, you make sure to watch the first 5 minutes. First 5 minutes. Did you see this thing? The first 5 minutes with Borash?
I did not see their YouTube clip. I heard
it. It was a pretty creative little clip. Bischoff's or Borash is in the bathroom.
And he's that on sounds
his,
awesome.
He's on his, of course, every skit has to be in the bathroom on Impact. Mm. He's on his cell phone, and somebody calls and says, something big's happening in the first 5 minutes, but it's a secret. Of course, everything's a fucking secret on the show. That's why nobody watches it. But anyway, they say, don't tell anybody the secret. He goes, don't worry, I won't tell anybody there's a big thing in the first 5 minutes of the show. Of course, someone's in the stall next to him. They call their friend. Their friend calls another friend. It's this big thing where you see everybody telling everybody else. And finally, at the end of the clip, Borash is walking down the hall and some stranger comes up and says, hey, don't tell anybody this, but the first 5 minutes Impact, something big's going to happen. And Borash is like, oh, I fucked up. Pretty creative little segment.
Okay.
Pretty creative little segment. Yeah, you know what that did? 9,000 views on YouTube. They didn't put it on Impact, no. which does 1.5 million viewers.
Yeah.
They put it on YouTube. It got 9,000 viewers, which I think may be less than the Brian and Vinny battle has gotten in history. And, of course, the opening segment on Impact, what did the first 5 minutes get? 0.99. Way to go, guys. Way to go. So, you would think, well, they don't think, but that does a 0.99. I guess it was probably a little too late since the ratings came out on Tuesday. But you know what they build for next week on Impact on Monday night? Nothing!
Right.
I don't remember a single match they announced for next Monday. Not a single match.
I was just happy they ran out matches for the pay-per-view in 2 weeks or whatever it is. It may be next week.
Oh, yeah. The pay-per-view that's coming up where the...
I know four matches now.
Okay, so it's Abyss versus AJ.
Yeah.
And then next week in the main event, Jeff Hardy pins AJ.
Right.
Why the fuck would you do that?
Because they're retarded.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
I'm just astounded. I'm astounded that anybody expected this to do anything different. They have done the same stupid shit over and over, week after week, month after month,
year after year,
year after year.
Years of my life taken away.
How many Brian and Vinny shows have you listened to where we have skewered Impact for this dumb shit?
All of them.
Okay, so they do this week after week after week, and people still think that suddenly something's going to change. They're suddenly going to get a great number. People are suddenly going to start watching the show. I remember when they announced that Hogan and Flair was going to be on free TV March 8th. And I thought, how stupid. Why don't you dumbasses put this on pay-per-view and try and pop a rating? People pointed out, well, Brian, obviously you were wrong. You know what? You're right. I was wrong. I was wrong. Because if they had put that match on pay-per-view, let's say they announced that match for Lockdown, you know how badly they would have killed interest in that match in a month and a half? It took them 2 weeks to kill the interest in the match for Monday night.
Yes.
People talking about, man, they got to put this match on Monday because, you know, they got to establish themselves on Monday nights. They got to get a real big number and get people talking and watching the show. You really thought that was going to happen? I mean, did you really think that was going to happen? It's not like I didn't predict this. If anything, I fucked up because I expected them to do better.
Your standards were still too high.
My standards were still too high. My standards were still too high. Look at the quarters here. We talked about this earlier. In the first hour and 45 minutes, nobody switched channels. Nobody switched from Raw to Impact during a Chris Angel segment. Nobody even switched from Impact to Raw until the final 15 minutes of the show when they carted Hogan and Flair out to the ring yet again. Hogan's first match since the Orton match, Flair's first match since WrestleMania, their first match together since 1999 or whatever, 0.76. A 0.76. Again, why would anyone need to watch this match? We saw the blow off the Thursday before on that god-awful fucking show. That was the only segment where people switched channels. They switched from Impact to Raw to watch Vince, Cena, and all the goofballs.
All the goof.
The goof troop. There's no hope, everybody.
No, I've been telling you this 4 years.
You get rid of the dumb shits putting the show together, and there's hope.
But it won't ever happen, Brian.
Well, it's going to happen, actually. Because the theory, and this is a grand theory, the grand theory is that the reason that Bischoff and Hogan kept Russo around was because as soon as this shit went down, he's a scapegoat and they get rid of him. Great!
Whatever gets the job done.
I cannot conceive of a human being walking the face of this earth that could write a worse wrestling TV show. I went to SmackDown tonight. I've been to a lot of WWE shows in Seattle. This was by far the smelliest. These people had the worst body odor. I would trust every single one of them to write Impact over Vince Russo.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a bigger failure in the history of this business. And when people go, well, Brian, how can he be such a big failure? He's still got a job today. Yeah, he's employed by people that are somehow stupider than he is. Because they don't understand that when you do the same fucking numbers over and over, actually, the numbers are getting worse. When the numbers are getting worse, nobody buys your pay-per-views, and you still have the guy write your TV, you deserve everything you fucking get. They get rid of that guy, and maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope.
I still think...
How much fucking talent is on this show?
A ton.
It's astounding that this fucking show did worse than NXT last week.
Which has rookies. By definition. Wade Barrett.
David Otunga. Darren Young! These guys are beating Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Sting, Rob Van Dam,
Kurt Angle,
Nash, Angle, Foley, the list goes on and on. How is it fucking possible that all of that talent is losing to NXT? Because the fucking guy putting your show together is a numbskull.
Yeah.
We've been saying this for years. What does it fucking take? Do they have to do a point one?
That's what I'm trying to say. Panda Energy will pull the plug before they fire Vince Russo.
They'll fire Russo first.
I don't think they have to. They would have by now. It's not like he's only been there for 3 months. He's been there for years.
Well, no. Here's why they wouldn't. Because there was always that fucking golden carrot. It was never Russo's fault. It was always like, if only we had Hulk Hogan. If only we had Ric Flair. If only we had Monday Nights. Well, guess what?
You have all those.
I know. Now they do, though.
And it's going down.
Now they've got everything. What more is there? Except if Vince McMahon took over. What more could you possibly get? John Cena? That ain't happening, okay?
That wouldn't matter.
What else could you possibly get? You're going head to fucking head with Vince McMahon on Monday night with Hogan and Flair and everybody. What more could you possibly get? Nothing. Therefore, they've hit the wall. Something's got to give. And it's got to be Vince Russo. And for the people that are talking about, I know that Spike TV sent out something today, and they're talking about how
The mail demos
are up. Everything's fine. The mail demos are up.
Yes.
The mail demos are up by 5% and 11%. First off, whoop-de-fucking-do. Second off, number one, the rating is down, so they're making less ad money. Number two, they're going live every other week, which is a great added expense. 5% and 11% in a demo is not even coming close to offsetting that. As much as people want to try and claim that everything is fine, this number is a disaster. And what do you fucking think this number is going to be next week?
I'm hoping about a 0.7.
Steve Austin, Vince McMahon and Bret Hart contract signing. 3 WrestleMania rematches. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho on Raw. What do you think a taped Impact is going to do up against that? They may get a 0.5. Then what?
I will do a dance.
Then what's the spin going to be? We're doing better than we were doing before we got TV. That's true. Except before you had TV, you were doing fucking better pay-per-view numbers. I have no idea why I'm ranting about this right now.
Honestly, I don't either.
I have no idea why I'm still, after all these years, yelling. Because...
Well, I know that because you're an angry little man.
No, because I want to fucking see a good Impact.
You can't.
I got to watch this show every week. I would like it to be good. It's so frustrating to see all this fucking talent squandered on a shit show. I don't want to watch that. People, I would be the happiest fucking man in the world if TNA produced a great show every week and they were doing a 4. I'd be the happiest guy in the world. Because I don't know if anybody realizes this or not, but when wrestling does well, I make a lot of money. I would like it to do great. If the wrestling business right now was doing as well as the wrestling business was doing in the 90s, I would have a gold boat. I would have a boat made out of gold. And an airplane. And I would have houses everywhere. I would be rolling in money.
A gold boat.
Yes. I would have a boat made out of solid gold.
See, I can see this.
I don't even give a fuck if it sinks. Well, I would have it.
I don't see it. I see you owning a gold boat, but it's not tied up in a dock somewhere. It's just in your front yard.
Yeah, just be sitting right out there. I'd have palm trees in my fucking front yard in Washington, and I'd have a golden boat tied to the palm trees. I would love if this business was doing great. I would love if Impact was doing a 4 and Raw was doing a 4 and it was a great show every week. I would be so fucking happy. Why do people think I'm biased against TNA like I want it to die? Why would I want it to die?
Well, perhaps they're confusing you and I.
I want this bullshit TNA that I'm watching right now to go away forever and a good TNA to appear in its place. Sweet Christ, WWE got rid of ECW. And it was doing better than Impact did this week. And they tried out NXT. Let's try something different. Let's try something different. Let's try and make something. This one's obviously not working. Let's try to make something work. And so far it is. It'll fail soon enough, I'm sure. But for now, it's different and it's better. The same shit week after week. Let's talk about the SmackDown tapings. I don't even want to talk about last night's Impact. It was shit, everybody.
Pretty much, yeah. There was a fun X Division match. There's one thing I want to say about this show. That, the dumb shits on the board were arguing about. And actually, that's not even true. It's really one dumb shit. And other people on the board were pointing out what a dumb shit he was. But someone was saying, I don't see how Rob Van Dam was buried. Because he was hit with a baseball bat. So, of course, you know, it was natural that he would be on the ground. To anyone who feels that way about the segment, if you missed the show, we'll recap. Sting was in the ring to take on a mystery opponent. It was such a mystery, the fans were chanting RVD. Sure enough, the music played, RVD's name appeared on the graphic. Rob Van Dam came through the crowd. He hit that one jumping kick where it looks like he's going to break his leg, but he never does. He hit the Rolling Thunder. He pinned Sting. People were going crazy, jumping up and down, chanting his name. And then Sting hit him with a baseball bat several times. Killed him into oblivion. Hogan came out to, I guess, make the save. The refs held Hogan back as Sting continued to hit a man with a baseball bat. Security did not care about that. And the focus was all on Sting and Hogan. Rob Van Dam was usually not on camera. And when it was, he was being beaten with a baseball bat.
Yeah, he would lay on his back and he would hold his stomach and he would kick his feet.
Probably saying, ow, my ribs.
Ow! And then every now and then he would start to get up and they'd hit him again.
Yeah.
And he'd lay down there and kick his feet for a while. Then he'd start to get up and they'd kick him again. Mm-hmm. And this went on for like 5 minutes and then he disappeared never to be seen again.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who think this is not a burial because he was taken out with a baseball bat, in a minute, they went from the fans chanting his name, going ballistic, happy to see him, to him being an afterthought, a complete afterthought, as Sting squared off with Hulk Hogan.
In 2010.
That is a burial. How you got there is irrelevant. At the end of the day, Rob Van Dam showed up and was buried a minute in.
Not to mention, I think it's the same dipshit.
Why
talking
would you
about
sign a guy and pay him money?
Because they have no idea what they're doing.
And then, I'm a little confused that Rob did not just pack his bags and leave.
The same dipshit goes, he beat Sting.
No one will remember this.
He beat Sting. Dude, he fluke pinned him. Sting kicked out at 3.1. He didn't sell a thing, and no. He immediately beat up the guy with the bat.
He got to his feet, got his bat, and started beating up Rob Van Dam.
What a victory.
He was not. This man was not beaten in any way, by which I mean Sting. Rob Van Dam was beaten, savagely.
He was savagely beaten.
So it sucks to be him. I'm sure he wishes he had just stayed retired. There was that that god-awful Beer Money versus Jeff Jarrett segment.
Yeah.
Where I was so happy when I heard you tear this apart later. Because
yeah.
I watched this in a state of complete bewilderment. I have never... There were four people involved, I believe. Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, and Beer Money. And I did not understand the motivations of any of them.
I don't either.
And throw Bischoff in there, because apparently he put this all together. But it went on for like 6 minutes, and I stared there at my screen shouting, what is going on here?
Yes.
And I thought I had missed a segment.
So
where,
did I.
Where Beer Money had turned heel.
No, I thought I'd missed a segment where they announced this match. All I
that,
saw
that
was
too.
Jeff Jarrett went up to Beer Money, and he's like, I just want you to know that this match was not my idea. And I'm like, what match? What in the fuck's going on? And Beer Money all of a sudden are heels for like literally no reason. They go out there. It's Beer Money against Jeff Jarrett in a handicap match with Mick Foley in a suit and tennis shoes as the ref.
Right.
What?
I don't know. I wrote down what happened. I wrote, I don't have any idea what happened in this segment. And then I wrote, I feel like I have tuned into an alternate universe TNA with completely different storylines.
You may
this
have.
This was the Elseworlds version of TNA.
A bad show, everybody. One, just the usual. Oh, goodness. I need to play a song here. I got to play a song, and then we'll talk about NXT and SmackDown, which I had fun.
Oh, absolutely.
I had fun. Everyone in the crowd had fun. Nobody, Craig actually left during the main event, but he's a pussy. I'm joking, Craig. But
no, he's a pussy.
Largely, nobody left. And, it was a fun time. We'll talk about that in a second, but let's play this song. I got a better one.
The Egotistical Eight.
The Egotistical Eight is called.
Yeah.
The Deuces Wild Tournament. The shittiest tournament in wrestling history.
Yes, it was.
Super Eric and Eric Young. Vince Russo. Impact.
Everything about you. TNA. Everything about the opening recap.
Everything about the entire show in general. A reverse cage match with the girls.
Okay.
Fuck you, Vince Russo. Just fuck you. Oh, wait, there's another one here. Total non-stop action wrestling. Latest show, will it flop or will it go? The cast is taking its final bow. Here comes the audience now. The doors are open, they're on their way. Let's hear what they have to say. This company is cursed. Vince Russo.
How'd he achieve it? Everyone hates this guy.
It's the worst show in town.
No! No!
Oh my God!
This show just gets worse and worse and worse with each passing week. Good to see things have changed. TNA was the worst shit I've ever seen. Total non-stop action wrestling. How fitting that would end it with Steve Austin cackling at Impact.
You know?
Which is going to happen next week!
When you think about it, it is really amazing how they've been so horrible for so long but won't fucking die. What else?
Forget dying. How could you have so much failure for so long and still keep employing the same dumbasses?
Either way. I'm more impressed they are still alive. Television shows usually have a very short lifespan. Television shows have been canceled after literally one episode. Impact has been on for years and won't get canceled.
Tell us the story of the death of Fishing and Hunting News.
Well, we walked into work one day. We were told, we're done. We're closing up shop. And we all said, so this issue we're working on right now is the last one? And they said, no, we are done immediately right now. Call your guys, tell them to stop writing. We're not going to pay them for any more work.
And why did this happen?
The founder of the company died. His widow was trying to sell it. The deal with the last potential buyer fell through, and they pulled the plug immediately.
So if you were going to start your own fishing magazine, would you hire the widow?
Well, no.
Well, that's what Impact did!
Yeah.
That's what Impact did! WCW died, they hired the same writer, the same guys on top,
mm-hmm.
the same production guys,
yeah.
astounding.
Well, I will say that
2010, and we're about to get a rematch from Starrcade 97.
It is astounding. I will say, since you brought it up, some of my friends from the magazine did start their own magazine and it's doing very well.
But so, without the widow.
The widow is not involved.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd check. Let's get through this this SmackDown and NXT thing right here. Live from Seattle, Washington, we attended this show, and as noted, we had a fun time. So let's talk about it. Open with NXT. We missed a dark match, sadly. There was a dark match. Can't remember what it was.
I'm sure there was, but we missed it.
I don't even have an NXT report here. Let me get the report that's up on the website so I can get some little notes here.
Well, you were discussing with Paul Bearer about how hot the pyro is, and actually, when Kane came out later, I was bracing for heat and never felt it, so perhaps they've changed that.
Well, actually, this is a true story. They have cut their production costs on their TV tapings dramatically. Would you have noticed if I had not mentioned that?
No.
Well, they have.
Oh, there you go. But there was a lot of pyro on the show.
Because you see, it's about making money.
Yeah.
That is, in fact, the goal of a wrestling promotion.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pyro on the show, and the pyro for NXT, I was prepared for how loud it was. I was not prepared for how violent it was. I was on the opposite side of the building in literally the very back row. If I'd been back one more row, I would have been outside, and the building shook with this pyro.
Yeah.
So they do not mess around with that. They show the NXT intro. People were going crazy because it was it was on TV. But we saw the video and everyone cheered or booed based on the pro. So when Jericho came on screen, everyone booed. When Christian came on screen, everyone cheered. When Matt Hardy was on screen, nobody really cared. But then when Miz and Bryan Danielson came up, everyone cheered.
They love Bryan Danielson.
It was his hometown and people knew that. So they came out. The opening match was Truth and David Otunga versus Miz and Daniel Bryan. Bryan was beloved.
Yes.
He got Daniel Bryan chants, Let's Go Dragon chants. There were welcome home signs everywhere, so I'm sure he had a nice night. It was kind of funny because they did work heel.
They kind of did, yes.
Sort of. They got the heat on Truth and worked him over, and I was waiting for the babyfaces to the other men to make a comeback and Danielson to cut them off and get giant cheers. It never really worked out that way. But the deal was Danielson hooked Otunga eventually in a heel hook. The crowd thought he was going to tap, desperately wanted him to tap, was pissing themselves, waiting for Bryan to get his first win. And then Miz reached over and tagged himself in. And they had a shoving match. And as the ref was dealing with Bryan, Truth hit his wacky kick on Miz and Otunga pinned him. So that was the big opener there. So the story was, Bryan deserved to win, but he was chewed out of it by his mentor, The Miz.
And Daniel and Miz had a great stare down and shoving match afterwards, and they did a deal in the back where they cut a promo on each other, and Daniel got the last word. And then on the SmackDown, or no, it was the
SmackDown.
It was SmackDown. That's right. SmackDown. Miz tried to get a win with his feet on the ropes, and Daniel shoved him off. And anyway, all I got to say is that I know that sometimes people get bored by the numbers booking, but WWE doesn't care about you if you're one of those people. Mm-hmm. They are, in fact, concerned about making money.
Yeah.
And this feud has been awesome.
Yes.
This feud has been fabulous. Miz is a great heel. Daniel Bryan is a great babyface. And everything they have done so far has played perfectly into the story. This is textbook great pro wrestling booking. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I want to steal it for Tulalip.
Well,
we've got a Parejas and Crablas match this weekend.
Write it all down. We'll
what
see.
Can I steal
we'll
from this fucking feud here? This was great.
Yes.
So we had the
Heath Slater's rebuttal after Carlito spit apples in his face.
Yeah.
And Heath said, Carlito thinks it's cool. I say it is not cool. I'm not making that up, folks. That's what he said.
Then we had Carlito and Heath Slater. And for those of you that watch this on TV, the first, like, 5 minutes of this were abso-fucking-lutely insufferable.
I assume
they were a commercial.
Yes.
I know, because okay. I was getting notes from Dave, and he said, we were at commercial during that, and I texted back, you were lucky.
I even for Carlito, they were putting forth such no effort. I thought there's no other explanation than they're a commercial right now. It has to be. So, yes, this match sucked a giant cock live. On TV, I'm sure it was fine, because pretty much just the comeback.
The comeback and the finish worked out all right.
Sure.
Carlito got pinned with a second cradle. I don't know if something went wrong with the first one or what the deal was. There were some strange finishes here on the show. But he won, and Christian and Heath celebrated. Carlito was sad. Everybody was happy. They popped huge, I will say. They popped huge for the upset.
The crowd was a great crowd all night, really.
Yeah.
And especially for, well, the guys you would expect. But even for this, for Heath Slater and Carlito, they were totally into it. So it worked. We got a Darren Young profile video, which was, you know, not as wacky as I would have thought.
No.
He's actually, you take away the super tan and the wacky hairdo, he really doesn't have that much charisma.
Craig actually turned to me during this match and said, is he black? And I don't know the answer.
I thought, I was convinced he was a white man, overly tan, and was looking at part of this, and now I'm confused.
He's got black, like jet black hair that's bleached at the top.
Yeah. He has black skin tone, but he has white facial features.
All I know is that in the next match, they revealed that Justin Gabriel was from South Africa, which was fascinating because the fans chanted USA during his match.
It was actually
with Wade
because,
Barrett.
Yes, it was Wade Barrett, the Englishman, against Justin Gabriel, the South African, and at ringside were Chris Jericho, a Canadian, and Matt Hardy.
Yeah, so Matt, I guess they were cheering for Matt. Yes.
That's all I can figure.
So they had a match. It did not go long. Amazingly, they pinned Wade Barrett. He's a big, huge guy. Justin Gabriel is not all that good or not all that over. And
well, he will be if he's pinning him with the 450.
Well, that's true. He did pin him with the 450 clean. And afterwards, Jericho hit the ring and beat up Matt and then gave Gabriel the code breaker and actually got monstrous heat live for this. Mm. I was astounded by how hated he was for beating up Justin Gabriel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed NXT again this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've hit on something with this. I mean, it's actually amazing they've never come up with it before, but...
Well, it is this concept, a very simple concept.
Yeah, the concept of you got eight guys, and you team them all with an actual legit star.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a Charlie Haas and a Gold Dust. I mean, you've got the
world
heavyweight
champion. And former world champions.
Punk. You've got all these, like, legit... One guy's got three fucking belts. You team real fucking stars with up-and-comers, and it's getting these guys over. It's actually astounding that after all these years, nobody thought about this until just now. Or at least nobody did it right until just now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see what the rating ends up being. But so far, so good with that little deal right there.
And somewhere in here, I guess I had heard this on WWE TV before, but it was during the taping of the show I realized that one of the theme songs for WrestleMania is Be Yourself, Audio Slave. Again, they used this for a Diva search like 4 years ago. I'm confused.
Are you talking the theme song for Mania?
Mm-hmm.
Craig noted that not only is the song 4 years old, but the band broke up.
Even better.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the SmackDown show.
There was the...
Oh, we had two Superstars matches.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler beat Shelton Benjamin.
This was
the first fascinating finish on this show. They do a match. It's rather boring. And
you're shocked, I'm sure.
Yeah. And Dolph hits... His move,
the
his
zigzag.
Finisher, his zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton kicks out. Everyone's shocked. As soon as Shelton kicks out, Dolph proceeds to grab him and put him in a rear naked choke, and the ref stops it.
Yeah.
What in the hell was that?
I guess they're trying to get the sleeper hold over as his new finisher.
I guess.
That's all I can figure.
They didn't even raise hand three times. It's 2010 now. He checked him and he was unconscious. Like, clean tap out finish on Shelton Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
By Dolph. All right.
And then the other Superstars match we had was Mike Knox and Goldust.
Which was better than Dolph Ziggler and Shelton Benjamin, in fact.
It was. I was actually very excited for it, and then about a minute in, I realized they were getting no time because they were working really fast.
And Goldust pinned him clean, too.
It was good while it lasted. Goldust hit a spinny suplex thing and pinned him. It was fun while it lasted. And also, seeing him live and especially seeing him with Goldust made me realize just how big Mike Knox is.
He's a large man.
He engulfed Goldust. Who is not small by any stretch.
Yeah. I could have sworn Craig said something like, I want to put on some... Maybe I should strive to be as big as that guy. And then they announced him at 290. Maybe I misheard Craig.
I think he's taller than Craig realizes as well.
SmackDown.
The other thing here was there was an Austin video hyping up his return on Raw, and it was had a bunch of interviews from people talking about what a star Steve Austin was. And some of the people talking about what a star he was were Ric Flair and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
That amused me.
That won't last. SmackDown opened with Rey and his family coming down to the ring in an angle that screamed angle, because why would Rey Mysterio be coming down to the ring with his family?
No reason other than to invite someone to start trouble.
He announced that this was his son, who is now bigger than he is.
He pointed this out.
What's the kid's name again?
Dominic.
Dominic, that's right. Dominic is now taller than he is. He said, this is my lovely wife, and this is my little daughter, whose name I've already forgotten.
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. She's 9 today. And it was actually funny because he was supposed to ask everybody to sing happy birthday to her. But as soon as he mentioned it was her birthday, they just all started loudly chanting happy birthday. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't want to say it was ECW crowds in 1996.
They were pretty passionate wishing his daughter a happy birthday.
They were crazy passionate.
When I mentioned that there was the crowd was crazy for the people you'd expect, Rey Mysterio was on that list. And by extension, the entire Mysterio clan.
So he got him to sing happy birthday, and as he's in the middle of it, Punk comes out with Luke Gallows and Serena, and Serena's tits all came down to the ring. They're gigantic.
They're overdone.
They're so gigantic.
I can't see that.
I don't even sound like a pig when I talk about how huge her tits are.
No, they're...
Because it's like, it just has to be said. Mm-hmm. They're enormous.
Yes.
They're so enormous that I have no idea how she doesn't just topple over. Like, I don't know if they put a weight in her pants or something like that to keep her balanced upright.
It is a mystery.
She's got humongous honkers. So they come out and they bury Rey, and they talk about how he's a coward. Punk challenged him
Punk
to a match.
An awesome promo.
Yes,
basically.
He did.
He's assured Rey he was not there to start trouble. Rey had backed his family into the corner, were standing in front of them, very concerned. And Punk assured him he was not there to hurt them or to hurt Rey. He was there to issue a challenge to Rey for WrestleMania, and also a challenge for right now. And when Rey did not accept, Punk started belittling him. And talking about how he was afraid he was going to get hurt in front of his family, and how he was terrified that his daughter would see him crying and his son would see him broken and bloody and all this. And Rey was getting angrier and angrier, but couldn't do anything because his family was there. And finally, he ordered them through the ropes and out of the ring and led them up the ramp. And CM Punk said this proved he was a coward. Crowd just going crazy booing him. And then Punk stopped one more time and he sang happy birthday to Aaliyah once more. He was such an evil dick in this segment.
He was a great asshole.
Phenomenal.
So apparently they're wrestling at WrestleMania.
This show is off to a home run start.
And as I mentioned on Monday, they've dropped the hair shaving thing. So I'm guessing that I actually don't even know why. I mean, I presume that they're just going to do a normal match at Mania and then eventually build to mask versus hair.
All right.
But you'd think there would still be some shavings here and there to remind us. I don't know.
Someone suggested last week after Aaliyah was on SmackDown last week being babysat by Tiffany.
I thought he'd shave her head.
Someone said that. And,
or Dominic.
See, Dominic makes more sense for a couple reasons, not least of which he's a dude. But sitting in the crowd for this, they don't need to do that anymore. He ruined his daughter's birthday. This is enough.
No, I think he needs to shave this. Dominic. I mean, why else would they have this family out here? Something bad's going to happen to somebody.
You would think Dominic would eventually learn to stay out of wrestling. Bad things happen to him. There was a point right before he stepped to the ropes, because keep in mind, he is now taller than his dad. I thought he was jumping forward to attack CM Punk, and that would have gone badly, but you know the ovation that would have gotten?
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been great.
Well, it can still do and then get shaved.
Sure.
We had Miz and R-Truth, or Miz versus R-Truth, with Daniel and Otunga at ringside. And as noted, Miz tried to pin R-Truth with the feet on the ropes. Bryan pushed him off. Big pop for that. Truth hit the spinning forearm. So Miz has now failed twice,
yes,
in fact.
And this was great booking because it built to the tag match at Mania and also built up Miz's feud with Danielson.
Which I hope is at Mania. I doubt it, though. Too many matches at this point.
Possible, I suppose, but doubtful.
So we had Drew McIntyre backstage, and he's begging for another shot at Money in the Bank, and I didn't even hear the entire segment, but basically the gist of it was Teddy Long said, I can sign you in a match tonight per Mr. McMahon. If you win, you get in Money in the Bank, but it's all or nothing. Your title is on the line as well.
The only line you really missed there was that the losses have all officially been wiped out, and Mr. McMahon has handpicked your opponent tonight.
So
apparently Vince has been scouting around Tulalip Championship Wrestling.
I've been putting those matches on the front page.
Apparently he's been watching. Well, if he goes there, he can link to the others.
That's true.
Because Drew McIntyre's handpicked opponent.
Wait, hold on. I got to explain how they built this man up.
Right.
They said this man is from Seattle, Washington.
Everyone cheered.
So I initially thought Daniel Bryan, but no. He said this man is a three-time Washington State wrestling champion and an MMA fighter.
An MMA champion.
An MMA champion in the light heavyweight division.
Yes.
Who should come through the ropes but Aaron Bolo?
By that name.
Of Tulalip Championship Wrestling. Who is not, in fact, a three-time amateur wrestling champion, nor an MMA champion in the light heavyweight division.
I'm not even sure he's a light heavyweight.
He's from Seattle, I think.
He's in the area. Well, he's from Seoul, South Korea.
I guess so. That's right. I apologize. Anyway, he was killed in 20 seconds.
He did not win. He shamed Tulalip.
Sadly, he did, but...
It was an epic upset.
Yeah, he was beaten.
And I was sitting back and thinking about Drew's gimmick of being the guy who, you know, gets 4,000 second chances, loses all the time, and how he's going to be, you know, he's now in Money in the Bank. We know it's official now, and he's probably going to win the damn thing, and still be arrogant and snide about this, and I love this gimmick.
I'm still saying he cashes in the night of WrestleMania.
On Edge, you think?
I'm trying to think of who it would be. It's either Edge or Cena and Batista?
Yeah.
It's got to be Edge, I guess. The whole thing is like the...
But it's also perfect, though.
Unless things can change all the time, but this is the last Money in the Bank at Mania.
Right.
Which means this is the last chance to have the winner cash it in the same night. I think they'd have to do it once. Anyway, Big Show, John Morrison, a boring-ass match. Big Show beat on him for 10 minutes. Morrison finally made a comeback, went to do his springboard kick. He was punched right into the face and pinned. Sucks to be him.
That pretty much covers it. Yeah. It's not a show for great wrestling.
No, it wasn't. No, there was not a lot of good wrestling to be had on this taping.
Still looking back, I still think Wade Barrett and Justin Gabriel had the best match.
Vicky Guerrero and Tiffany argued backstage. You see, Tiffany is now on SmackDown. Teddy Long said he's so happy to see her back. And Vicky walked up and said, "Why is she back? She's the reason ECW died."
I howled. Yeah. Oh, I howled.
And Teddy said, "No, she's not," but he didn't have a better reason to die.
He did not, yes. He had no counter argument no.
He said that she was here to be a diva. And so Vicky signed Tiffany versus Michelle for later on.
And I stopped howling and I screamed in terror. Tiffany from ECW versus Michelle McCool. Live in front of my own eyes.
They did the match. I am not sure if Tiffany is a worse wrestler or GM. She came out in a little cheerleader skirt.
Yeah.
It was the only upside of this entire match. She has goofy facials. She moves weird.
Mm-hmm.
She is horrible offense.
Yeah.
She's horrible at selling.
Yeah.
And she beat Michelle up the whole time. And it's rare. It's a rare day I feel bad for Michelle. This was one of those days. Michelle was like Ric Flair in there with...
Elegante.
Elegante. No, not even that. They had a good match.
All right.
Ric Flair in there with you.
How dare you?
This was significantly worse. I don't even have a... maybe one of the NXT...
This is Ric Flair in divorce court.
This was one of the NXT rookies in there with... It was David Otunga against Shawn Michaels, is what this was.
All right.
And anyway...
This is Shawn Michaels and Mr. Kennedy.
Yes!
Remember that match?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
So, there you go. Michelle ended up losing.
Tiffany was destroying her at ringside, and so who should make the save but Vicky Guerrero, who laid Tiffany out with a crossbody block.
Yes.
Jesus.
And then Beth hit the ring to make the save. She beat up all the girls, including giving Vicky a clothesline. And then when the heels bailed, she raised Tiffany's hands in victory. Why? Just out of curiosity, since I ask these logic questions with TNA, why would Beth Phoenix's character like Tiffany?
She wouldn't.
There's absolutely no reason.
They were doing
unless she's just a straight up lesbian.
Well,
and
no,
there are many hotter girls.
There are hotter women in the company. They had the great slow burn face turn going with her and Mickey. Then Mickey got hurt, and apparently she's just good now.
Yeah.
I was so certain because. You know, they had this crappy match. People hate Vicky, but that's all they cared about in this entire deal. And then Beth comes down in the ring to make the save. The crowd's going apeshit. She laid Layla and Michelle out in a fine display, did a big dramatic pose, and then turned to Vicky, and everyone's going crazy. And she hit a bad clothesline. She actually set up Vicky to hit her with the bitch clamp, which would have been a monumental feat of strength. It did not come off.
Mostly because Vicky deadweighted her. Yeah. She couldn't even get her to her
this
knees.
This would have been a shoot move. So, but the heels saved her and they all escaped. And then she raised Tiffany's hand. I thought she's going to murder Tiffany now. It's going to be completely awesome. And then they left. Let down.
I was sitting next to a guy and he's like, he turns to me in the middle of the show and he's like, "Where'd you get your tickets? Or how much did you pay for your tickets?" I think he asked. And I said, "Oh, I have a friend that got them for me." And he goes, "Oh, me too." And I said, "Oh, yeah."
You don't say.
And he goes, "Yeah, I know one of the wrestlers." And I said, "Oh, about that." And he goes, "I'm family friends with the great Kali." I was like, "Huh?" And he goes, "Yes, let me get my camera." And he got his camera from his wife, and sure as shit, bunch of pictures of him and Kali.
Wow.
Who is a gigantic man.
You should have played some drops for him.
We sat there and we talked about what a big man Kali was.
Yeah. You don't say.
And then when Big Show came out, he was like, "There's a big man too."
That's right.
I was like, "Sure is." And when we saw Big Show walking down the ring, he clapped for him. Like he respected him for his great size.
Wow.
These were some cool people.
The guy I sat next to was not nearly that entertaining, although he did share his popcorn with me. So can't knock him for that.
That you are going to die of some horrible disease within the next couple of days, I'm sure.
There was also a segment in here where...
How could you possibly share popcorn with a wrestling fan at a Seattle WWE taping? That's like the most disgusting thing I've ever heard of. That's like taking bumps on the Tulalip mat.
I do that too.
Or licking
it. Actually, I don't do that.
Licking it. Disgusting. Just gross. Kane beat Luke Gallows via DQ. This was and sharing popcorn with a random guy sitting next to you, Vinny?
He turned me handed me a bucket. It's not like it was coming out of his mouth.
I just picture the two of you with a bucket of popcorn between you sharing it.
It was not quite that bad.
And nothing wrong with homosexuality, Vince. It just reeks of it. That may come off wrong.
Somewhere in here, there's a segment where the Hart Dynasty was wrestling Crime Time for the 47th time, and thankfully it went a minute before Undertaker came out and killed all of them. People sure do love that Undertaker.
Did you see people sneaking the Undertaker under the ring before
I actually did not.
Yeah, I did.
And because I...
They turn the lights out and they show a video on the screen.
I was watching the video, obviously.
And when they turn the lights out, it's like, well, why'd they turn the fucking lights out? And about 40 guys in black walk down to ringside, walk around the ring, and then walk away. And I was like, huh, Hornswoggle? Shawn Michaels? Turns out it was Undertaker.
It was Undertaker.
He beat up Crime Time and the Hart Dynasty, and the whole idea was to remind people that his four finishers are the Chokeslam,
yes,
the Tombstone,
the Last Ride,
and the Goga Plata.
Yes, he hit all of them and left, and that was that. And people were ecstatic. They sure do love that Undertaker fellow. There was also the Did You Know fact where they said that WWE Magazine was the top-selling magazine at Walmart.
Yes. Woohoo!
And I can only say that tells me a lot more about the customers at Walmart than it does about WWE.
Kane beat Luke Gallows via DQ when Punk interfered. Punk then attempted to give Kane a GTS.
What the hell were they thinking with this?
What were they thinking? He had to try twice.
Thank God SmackDown is not live.
Yeah.
And he got sort of on the second try. The first one was a disaster. And I'm sure Punk, when it did not work, was thrilled with the prospect of lifting Kane onto his shoulders a second time.
Yeah.
So they managed to hit something that could probably be saved in an edit to make it look like a GTS. So Kane had hit the chokeslam when Punk hit the ring. So now Luke's out, and now Kane's out. Punk's standing in the ring alone, and then Ray's music hits. And Ray makes his big dramatic entrance. He comes out on the ramp, still in the street clothes with his mask. They had a long stare down, and then Ray came down to the ringside and just whipped this man's ass.
Yes, he did.
This
was the biggest pop of the night.
Oh, by the time this was done, this feud has been so awesome. By the time this is done, people have been saying, gee, I wonder if Undertaker Shawn's going to go last. No. CM Punk and Rey Mysterio have to go last.
Wrong.
I know. I'm getting carried away. But, God.
It was great.
And this whole feud has been great. And there was a shot of CM Punk. He fled. He was on his ass backing away on the pretty black mats in terror from this tiny little man who was kicking his ass. When you get down to it, pro wrestling is all about two things, ass whooping and comeuppance, and this had it in spades.
Then the main event was Jericho and Edge in the highlight reel, and the whole deal here was they built up... My idea, I mentioned this a while back, was that Jericho needs to spear him like... Or Edge needs to spear him like every week, over and over again. And finally, like the last week before Mania, Edge goes for the spear. He gets knocked unconscious because Jericho has a metal plate under his jersey. Edge gigs, bleeding everywhere. Jericho beats the fuck out of him. You want to pay to see the match. Well, they did it early, and they didn't use a thing. They just... Edge went for the spear, and Jericho put the belt up, and Edge speared the belt and was knocked unconscious. And then Jericho...
Then Jericho chanted spear.
Yeah.
To remind everyone, they want you to chant that.
It's fine.
It did seem too early. They still have two episodes,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have more to do, but it did seem like this was something that should have been done on the last show.
And in the dark match, they brought out Edge and Jericho. Actually, they were already out there, so Teddy signed Jericho to a match. Edge was still selling, so both were in their street clothes. They had a match that went maybe 4 minutes. It was funny because after the match, Edge did this promo about how if there's one thing he could always say, it's that he came out here every night and he gave 100%. Lie!
Yes. If the WrestleMania main event is this match, it's going to suck.
Well, no. It was they did a dark match.
Yeah.
They did a dark match, and if you watch this match, you fully understand why Chris Jericho never gets hurt.
Yes.
He spent 3 minutes and 50 seconds of the 4 minutes flexing and posing in a comical manner and strutting. They did a couple of spots. It actually was a match I would have loved to have had.
Sure.
Because it was so fucking easy and simple. And finally, Jericho got DQ'd to save the title. Edge speared
with an
him.
Eye poke.
Yeah.
He poked him in the eyes, and the ref said, oh, that's illegal. Ding, ding, ding.
Edge speared him. Everybody cheered. And then Edge did this nice little promo talking about how he always gave 100%. He said he and Jericho were going to steal the title or steal the show at WrestleMania, which they will try to do. It will be better than this match. And he also he goes, I don't say this in every city, but Seattle is my favorite town in the whole country. Mm-hmm. He goes, I wouldn't say this in Boise, for example. Nothing against Boise, but seriously.
And then the best part was there was somebody from Boise in the crowd who protested. And he said, no, Boise's nice.
Seattle's just not Seattle.
Which
he said
true.
He loved the trees and the mountains and the fish.
Yes, the great things about Seattle were, in this order, Jimi Hendrix, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, mountains and trees.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
And said when he retired, he may move here. We may see him walking down the street. Doubtful. But that's what he said. So, everybody was very happy. They enjoyed the show. I didn't hear any complaints around me about anything about it. They showed up. They watched their wrestling. They were happy. They saw the stars. And they
yes.
went home.
They're, you know, I talked to some kids. They said the best part was The Undertaker killing people. But just watching people's reaction to the stars when they came out. I never thought of Kane in any way being a sex symbol. But there were some girls probably about 10 years old. When he came out, they squealed in what I assume was like a teen idol fantasy thing. Because they were not cheering, they were squealing. Like he was the man of their dreams.
Well,
it takes all kinds.
It takes.
There were also, and I found this to be far more entertaining, Truth came out. And we have a friend who hates his theme song.
That's right.
And there was a group of black men in my section who also hated his theme song. And were passionately shouting about, sarcastically, this is amazing. Hey, what rhymes with what's up? I know, what's up? They were just ripping it to shreds.
Yeah.
They were funnier than he was.
Well, what the hell can you do? Let's play one last song and then wrap it up here for today, because I got a newsletter finish, believe it or not.
Serious?
Oh, yeah. So, here we go.
Logic. For another day. Let the midget. Swaggle. Get your cares away. Shillelaghs. For another day. Let the midget. Swaggle. Swoggle.
Swaggy. Swoggle sounds like testicles. Doesn't it, sort of? There you go, everybody.
That's our show in a nutshell.
Show's over. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.